Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So yesterday last we discussed in regards to the dua that a person recites when he leaves the bathroom, when he leaves the toilet. So what dua should a person recite? And that is غُفْرَانَكَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنِّي الْعَذَى وَعَافَانِي. So we said that why is it that a person, he makes istighfar? Why is it that he has to ask forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when he leaves the toilet? What wrong did he do? So the one reasoning that we had given, that the commentators of hadith mentioned that it was the habit of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kana rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yadhkurullah fi kulli ahyani, all the time he was in the remembrance of Allah, all the time in the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this time where a person goes to relieve himself, that time a person cannot do anything, so it is void of the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that is why a person is making istighfar that, Allah, I seek forgiveness from you, that this time had been spoiled, has been used in something that was not constructive. So that was one reason. Another reason, Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali mentions, he says that when a person, he goes to toilet, he relieves himself, then we witness the external impurity, all the impurity, all the filth that come out. That is the external impurity of a person. Now a person should think that if this is the external impurity, then how much of internal impurity also I have. And that is all the sicknesses of the heart, like we discussed in the last week so much about pride, that this is such a dangerous disease. Now this is the sickness of the heart, this is internal impurity. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. A man that got this atom's weight of pride, just an atom's weight, this person will be deprived of Jannah. He's not going to enter into Jannah. Just an atom's weight of pride. And some say that he won't even smell the fragrance of Jannah. When a person regards himself to be good, he has vanity, he won't even smell the fragrance of Jannah. And we mentioned there also that incident of Hazrat Shah Ahmad Rifa'i Rahmatullah Ali, where he was going for the Jumu'ah Salah. And whilst proceeding for the Jumu'ah Salah, he came to that bridge. And only one person could cross the bridge. So he is on this side and there's a dog on the other side. So he is thinking that I need to cross the bridge. If I take the other way that is going down, then all the sewer and all the dirt is there. So my clean kurta that I have worn for the salah of Jumu'ah, that is going to become dirty. So he indicated to the dog, you go that way, you go down. So Allah Ta'ala gave that dog that ability to speak. And the dog said that if you are telling me to go down and you want to cross the bridge because you think that you are superior to me, then remember that the seven oceans cannot even wash your heart. The seven oceans will not wash your heart. And if you go down, you take that route and your kurta becomes mess, then no problem. Just wash it again, it will be clean, and you can continue for your Jumu'ah Salah. And then the dog said that I'm doing this favor to you. This is an ihsan, this is a favor I'm doing to you. Because few days ago when my puppy was out in the cold, it was shivering, nobody was taking care of it. Then you came and took that puppy in. You took care of it. So as an ihsan and as a favor, I'm doing this to you, I'm explaining this to you. Once I think Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali, he was going for the Eid Salah. And he was wearing, now Eid day, how a person dresses, the best jubba, the best kurta, the best clothing, which is sunnat also. Doesn't have to be new, but the best. And then he's going for the Eid Salah. And somewhere from the top, ashes come, whole bucket of ashes. And now a person, he's messed, full of ashes, and he's going for Eid Salah. And if it was you and I, how angry would have got, how upset would have got. That, see, I'm going for Eid Salah and my entire clothing is now messed. So he said, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. So the people said, Hazrat, what you saying? What you saying? He's saying, Alhamdulillah. This is an occasion to say Alhamdulillah. He says, I make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that only coal ashes came onto me. But my condition is such that I should be put into the fire of Jahannam. So this is when a person, when work is done on a person, then only Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. We're talking about this because we seek ourselves. So this, when work is done on a person, then gradually this pride comes out. Otherwise this disease doesn't come out of a person. As Maulana Ali Mir Sahib Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, he was an ocean of knowledge. He was known in the whole world. Up to now, all his kitabs have been read in the madrasa. Yesterday we heard in the Asr Bayan also that Maulana Ali Mir Sahib Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, how he passed away. He asked for the Quran Sharif on the day of Jumu'ah, and he opened Surah Yasin. And when he was reciting Surah Yasin, he came to Salamun Qawlam Mir Rabbir Rahim. And there, his ruh is expected and he passes away on the day of Jumu'ah. So that was Maulana Ali Mir Sahib Nadwi Rahmatullah, a great mufassir of the Quran. His kitabs, in every year it is taught. So he used to say that, what's this, all the people go to Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, coincided by Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah. Chuhe ki tarah, udde ke saamne baithte hai, like rats. Sitting in front of the old man like rest, everyone sitting so quietly. So when Allah Ta'ala put it in his heart, he decided to go in the company of Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali. So he went to Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, and he sat there. Now he is the mufassir of the Quran, commentator of Quran, but he hears the tafsir of Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali. When he heard that tafsir, that is Ahle Dil. That is Ahle Dil, when that love of Allah Ta'ala, when that nisbat, that connection with Allah Ta'ala now comes into the heart. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali said, when this love of Allah Ta'ala wasn't in the heart, then when we used to sit on the mimbar, and when we used to give bayan, he said, the whole mimbar used to shake. How the young ulama, how they speak, and with what force they speak, the whole mimbar will shake, and the whole masjid will shake, because at the top of the voice they are speaking. But it had no effect on the hearts of the people. We speak on the top of our voice and the mimbar will shake, but nothing happened to the hearts of the people. But when this nisbat came, when this love of Allah Ta'ala came, this connection with Allah Ta'ala now came, it entered into the heart. Now he said that we will speak simple things, but there would be earthquakes on the hearts of people. So Maulana Ali Mir Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat was a great mufassir of the Quran. Himself, he would make tafsir. But when he went to the company of Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah, now this is Ahle Dil, people of heart. So when he heard his tafsir, he says, Pata nahi kis andaz se bayan kiya, goya aaj hi Quran nazil hua. He says, I can't understand. I don't know. How did this man explain the Quran? How did he explain the Quran? As though Quran has been revealed today. Quran came down now. He's making tafsir. But when he sat there, he says, as though Quran just came back now. You sit in the company of some Ahlullah, some friend of Allah Ta'ala, then you find great effect. A person, sometimes one gaze of his is sufficient for a person now to change his entire life. So it is sufficient for a person to then change his life. So he used to say, Maulana Ali Mir Sahib Nadwi Rahmatullah used to say that waqt milne ka shab-e-akhir mein hai. Waqt milne ka shab-e-akhir mein hai. Subah se intizar-e-sham hai. That's the time to meet Allah Ta'ala. That is the last portion, last part of the night when a person now is engaged in tahajjud namaz. He meets Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But he says that from the morning now a person is waiting for the evening. That when will that time come when I will meet Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So these are the illnesses of the heart. So when Maulana Ali Mir Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, he was now leaving the company of Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali. Then he told Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat, see, I'm leaving now. Give me some nasihat. Give me some advice. So Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali says that at that time, I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to tell this man? This is the Allama. He is the Allama of the time. What advice can I give Maulana Ali Mir Sahib? So at that time he turned to Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala inspired Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali. So Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali took his finger and it indicated it and pointed it to the heart of Maulana Ali Mir Sahib Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali. He said, bhai, ye hamare tariq mein awwal se akhir tak, awwal se akhir tak apne aap ko mitana hai, apne aap ko mitana hai, apne aap ko mitana hai. He says, brother, in this part of ours, this part of the tasawwuf, this part of suluk, where a person wants Allah Ta'ala. He says, one message from the beginning to the end, you got to annihilate yourself, You got to humble yourself, you got to lower yourself. This is what you'll have to do, which is very difficult to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is what Mullah Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi saying here. He says, we're making dua, Allah forgive me, that this I'm witnessing my external impurity. But there's so much of internal impurity that I have, I seek forgiveness from you on that internal impurity that I have also. That one is this pride, jealousy, so common it is. Person, he's got malice, he's got hatred, he can't see somebody else coming up. And such a guna it is that a person, he suffers it himself. The other person is not going to suffer. Because you got the malice for him, you got that hatred for him, you can't see him go up. He is going to go up. Wherever it is destined for him to reach, he is going to reach there. But you are the one that's going to burn. Jealousy, that person is driving that type of a car or wearing that type of a shoe. So now you want that to be snatched away from him and it must come to you. So you are burning. Why he's wearing that type of a shoe? Why he's carrying that cell phone? So he's still going to use that cell phone. He's still going to wear that shoe. He's going to still drive that car. That's not going to go away from him. But you are burning. So you are miserable now. And on the night of Barat, when Allah Ta'ala forgives people, then that person that has this malice, he is deprived of the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala on that night as well. So a person, on all these internal illnesses that we have, a person now is asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So that is why we are saying ghufranas. Look at the knowledge in a simple dua of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When a person just leaves the bathroom and he reads ghufranas, that Allah, I seek your forgiveness. What commentators of hadith have mentioned? This is just a few explanations that I am giving over here. So that is the second explanation given by Mullah Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi. A third explanation that Mullah Khalil Ahmad Sahib Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi has given in the commentary of Abu Dawood Sharif. He said that the waste that leaves the body, which we discussed in detail yesterday, the waste that leaves the body, this is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. This is a very, very great ni'mat of Allah. So on this ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, we're supposed to be making shukr. That's why we say Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah. That Allah, that all this harm has come out. You have kept me with afiyat. All this harm has now come out of my body. So we're supposed to be making shukr. But the amount of shukr that we're making to Allah Ta'ala for this filth, for this waste coming out, it is not sufficient. So we are asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, that Allah forgive me in the manner I supposed to be making your shukr, I was unable to make your shukr. So on that we ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, that how I ought to make shukr, I was unable to do that. I could not fulfill the haqq of the shukr. A person, how much of ibadat of Allah Ta'ala he makes, he cannot fulfill the right of that ibadat. A person, he has recognized Allah Ta'ala wherever he must have reached in his recognition of Allah Ta'ala. He cannot recognize Allah Ta'ala in the manner Allah Ta'ala is supposed to be recognized. مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ وَمَا عَرَفْنَاكَ حَقَّ مَعْرِفَتِكَ. We haven't made your ibadat of Allah in the manner we're supposed to make your ibadat. We haven't recognized you Allah in the manner we're supposed to recognize you. A person becomes qari of the Quran. He learns all the different qirats. 7 and another 3 and another 4 after that. 14 qirats he learns. And he knows all the qirats on his fingertips also. And he's made the mashq. Practically he knows how to recite it also. That qari, even if he reads to the best of his ability, what is the right of Quran Sharif? He cannot fulfill the right of Quran Sharif. Because the right of Quran is so high. So a person, no matter how much shukr he makes, he cannot fulfill the haqq and the right of shukr. As Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala had blessed this family very greatly. Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, very greatly. A lot of ni'mat and bounties Allah Ta'ala had given them. Knowledge also Allah had given them. In terms of dunya also Allah Ta'ala had given them. Allah Ta'ala blessed them very, very greatly. So Allah Ta'ala instructs Dawood alayhi salam, اِعْمَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا. That oh, the family of Dawood, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for these ni'mat that we have given you. Make shukr to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam sat for a moment. He thought that how are you going to make the shukr of Allah Ta'ala? So then Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, he came to the conclusion. He said that I will split my family up into halves, into two parts. One part of my family, they will make the shukr of Allah Ta'ala first. And while the other part of the family, the other half of the family, they will go to sleep. And then half the night, this part of the family, they'll make the ibadah of Allah, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And when they're ready to sleep, then the other half will wake up and they'll spend the rest of the night in the ibadah of Allah. So in the entire night, My entire family is in the ibadah of Allah. In this way we will make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Then Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam thought a little further. And then he said that, Ya Allah, with our tongue we can make shukr. That we will make your ibadah, in that way we will make your shukr. But he says the ability to make your ibadah, the ability to utter the words of shukr, of gratitude to you, who gave us that tawfiq? That also came from you. So we have to make shukr on that also. So then Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam realized that no matter how much of shukr we make to Allah Ta'ala, we cannot fulfill the right of shukr. This is how great the right of shukr is of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We cannot fulfill this right. But Allah Ta'ala is shakur. Allah Ta'ala is that being الَّذِي يُعْتِ الْأَجْرَ الْجَزِيلَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ الْقَلِيلِ. Shakur is that being that you do a little bit. You do what is within your ability. Even that too you cannot do it properly, but you take that step forward. You make shukr to Allah. And on that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will grant very, very great reward. So that's the third reason why we seek forgiveness, that Allah forgive me, that I supposed to be making shukr to you, but I was unable to make shukr to you in the manner that you are deserving of shukr. So that's the third reason. And the fourth reason why we seek forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala when we leave the toilet, we say ghufranak. Allama Maghribi rahmatullahi alayhi has written in the commentary of Abu Dawood Sharif, that here he says that when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he came down from the heavens, he ate the forbidden fruit, and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam now came onto the earth. So when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came down, and for the first time that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam now passed stool on the earth, there was a smell now, a bad smell. So immediately Adam alayhi salatu wasalam attributed this smell to the forbidden fruit of Jannah that he had consumed. Because I ate the forbidden fruit, this is the consequence and this is the result of it. So on that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he sought forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. So that is why we also, when we leave now the restroom, we leave the bathroom, at that time we also make dua and we ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, ghufrana. At that time a person also, ulama has said, written that a person should contemplate a little bit when he's in a toilet, when he's relieving himself, that this waste that is coming out, at one stage what was it? It was a beautiful mango. It was a beautiful mango. It was a banana or whatever fruit it might have been. Or it was that biryani, how well it was prepared. But when it came into my company, when it came into my stomach, look at the consequence. Look at the result of this. That what we do, we spoil everything. We spoil everything. When a person thinks a little bit of this, then he'll realize, I'm absolutely nothing. I'm absolutely nothing. We are actually people that spoil everything. As I explained many a times, he says that when you go to somebody's house, you're given a dawat. And he says the ladies, they set out the dastarkhan. So he says, what perfection they set it out. What perfection. That every plate, how it is kept, straight in a line. And if they have a serviette that is kept, you'll never find one serviette on the right hand side of the plate and the other serviette on the next plate on the left hand side. You won't find it like that. Every serviette will be kept accurately in a particular position. And when they make that bowl of salad, then how they'll have the carrots one side, they'll have the cucumbers one side, all the different vegetables, how it is set, food, what perfection. And if, and they dish out also the food, how they dish out, they'll make sure that the masala will go in a particular way, the rice must go in a particular way, everything with perfection. They take their time. And if we men, now with the jalsa and they're dishing out, they just take the bowl or whatever out, as long as the food is served out. With perfection they dish it out. So the dastarkhan also with perfection it is set. The food also it is dished out with perfection. But after we sit and we eat that food, now look at the dastarkhan in comparison to when we came. What have we done? Like it is a war zone. Like the war had taken place over here. That is how we leave it and we go. So anything that comes into our company, think a little bit. What do we do to that thing? You buy a brand new car, a brand new vehicle. You just bought it now from the box. You just took it round 2 kilometers and you brought it back. So you still get the same value. Value has dropped. Now they'll call it demo model. They'll call it a demo model. And they cannot charge you the same price as a brand new vehicle. Why? It has already been used. So little while that car came into our company, it is no more a brand new car. It has already become second hand. Anything that came by us, we brought it brand new, we used it for a few seconds, we made it second hand. So this is the contemplation. A person should contemplate a little bit about this when he goes to relieve himself, that all this beautiful food which Allah Ta'ala had given me, when it came into my company, what was the result? This is my reality, that whatever comes into my company, I destroy everything. So these are the du'as that have been taught to us by Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as I mentioned yesterday, Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayhi also mentioned, he says that a person is supposed to be in the zikr of Allah all the time. But we are negligent, we cannot do that. That is why we have these masnoon azkar, these zikrs, that recite this zikr at this time. We have these masnoon du'as, that this time read this du'a, that time read that du'a. So a person, he remains in the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Another last point in regards to when a person goes to relieve himself, it's mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الْغَائِتْ فَلَا تَسْتَقْبِلُوا الْقِبْلَةَ وَلَا تَسْتَدْبِرُوهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. That when you come now to relieve yourself, then a person should be very careful. Don't face your front in the direction of the Qibla. And your back also shouldn't face in the direction of the Qibla. A person, he goes to a place where, for example, it's a resort or it's a hotel, or it's a public bathroom, person wants to go and relieve himself, and he finds that the toilet is built in the direction of the Qibla, then a person should turn away a little bit and relieve himself. That's why our feet also, we don't face it towards the Qibla. A person has to have respect for these things. Why? Because from Kaaba Sharif, the Qibla is the Kaaba Sharif, Makkah al-Mukarramah. From there is only positive that is coming. Allah Ta'ala's Tajalli is descending on Kaaba 24 hours. And there's all positive coming from there. Now this is filth and impurity. So what we got over here? Here we got negative. So we've got positive on one side and negative, and the two of them are going to meet. What are we going to get? An explosion over here. That's why Hazrat explained sometimes. He says that in our homes, we got one side, television. On the television, we got music that is playing. All the wrong that is there is all on the television. Now, in that same place where we got the television, we got Allah Ta'ala's name. We got the frame there. Allah Ta'ala's name is there. Quran Sharif is there. Hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is there. Some Dini literature is lying over there. So here from Quran Sharif, from Hadith Sharif, what's coming out? All the positive is coming out. There's positive over there. And from here what you got? All the negative. Now when negative and positive, these two things are going to clash, then we're going to have an explosion. Now when you got this explosion, you got problems in your life. So now a person wonders, what's going on in my life? Now he's going for blood tests, he's going for this test, he's going for that test. Doctors say all the tests are clear. All the tests are clear, you got no problem. So then what is going wrong? We're going from Molana to Molana, Molana gives Tawiz, but we still can't come right. This is the reason. Because we have brought this destruction upon ourselves. So this is also, we should be careful when a person, he goes to the toilet, that he should not face in the direction of the Qibla. So this is in regards to our istinja, in regards to the toilet. The next aspect is in regards to our wudu. That the wudu of a person also should be done properly. That if the wudu of a person is done correctly, this is the means of forgiveness of our gunas. Allah Ta'ala will forgive us for all our gunas. Mentioned the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when a Muslim servant, he makes wudu and he washes his face, then whatever gunas have been committed with the eyes of a person, when you wash the face, all this comes out. Meaning Allah Ta'ala forgives all those gunas. And then when a person washes his hand, then whatever wrong his hand has gone towards and touched, when he washes it, this also Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala forgives him, Allah Ta'ala cleanses him. To the extent, حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ نَقِيًّا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ, until he comes out clean from all his gunas. If that wudu is done correctly, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can purify a person. You know that when a person, he commits a guna, there is a black spot comes on the heart. Now if he doesn't make tawbah, that increases another black spot. Then again he commits another guna, another black spot. Quran says until the time comes, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, that the stains of this rust now covers the entire heart. This is because of the action. The entire heart is covered by rust now. Now when the heart is covered with this rust, now you find that if you speak haq to that person, not prepared to accept. Why? The heart has been blocked. It has now been sealed off. This is a dangerous state. Unless a person again, he starts making tawbah to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and the heart of a person is then cleansed. So here we understand that certain gunas are such that it is also visible. We said that Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi, he had that ability Allah Ta'ala had given him, that certain gunas people would commit, they would come there to make wudu, he would say that this guna you committed, this guna you committed. So here when a person, he makes wudu, all these gunas that a person had, obviously refers to the minor sins, doesn't refer to the major sins. For major sins, a person has to make tawbah. He's owing somebody money, he has to go return that money. Hukukul ibad. This refers to the minor sins. all the minor sins of a person is then forgiven. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgives the minor sins of a person. Then in wudu, a person, he should utilize the miswak. This is also a great sunnah of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the minimum that a person will benefit from this is that at least at the time of maut, Allah Ta'ala will bless him with recitation of kalima. He will leave the world with recitation of kalima. Now here amongst the Shafi'i and the Hanafi, there is a difference. According to the Hanafi madhab, that you have to make miswak at the time of wudu, in the kulli wudu'in, at the time of wudu, you make miswak. So say for example, a person came zuhr time to the masjid, and he made miswak, he made his wudu. So he will get the reward of his sawab, of his salah is going to be multiplied. But if he kept that wudu for the entire day, he pulled that wudu right till Isha time. He could read Asr, Maghrib, Isha. If the month of winter time is closed, so he read all the namazes with that wudu. So for every salah that he read, he'll get the reward of miswak also. Why? Because you're supposed to make miswak at the time of wudu, according to the Hanafi madhab. And in the Shafi madhab, in the kulli salatin, that miswak you use is at the time of every salah. That is why you'll find that the Shafis, when it's just salah time, sometimes iqama takes place, you'll find them now using the miswak. So for every salah, they will use the miswak and then they will perform salah. But in the Hanafi mazhab, no. If you made it at the time of wudu and you read a number of salah with that wudu, that is sufficient. Then Nabi Akhri, it is also mentioned to us, Atta bin Abi Rabah, rahimahullah. He explained to us that how the miswak should be used. He says, وَإِذَا اسْتَقْتُمْ فَاسْتَاكُوا عَرْضًا. That when you use the miswak, then use it breadthwise, horizontally, not vertically. Like how you use the toothbrush. How we use the toothbrush horizontally. Exactly the same way when we use the miswak, a person should use it horizontally. So he starts on the right hand side, on the top of the right hand side, and then the bottom of the right hand side, he will use the miswak. Then he will go to the top of the left hand side where the canines, etc. He should go to that top, and then to the bottom, and then in the middle, all the teeth that are in the middle, he should make miswak of those teeth. So this is the way that a person should make miswak. Now many a times people ask this question, that in today's time, that if we use the toothbrush instead of using the miswak, that will this suffice? Can we use the toothbrush instead of using the miswak? So here the ulama have mentioned that there are two things here. One is the miswak, one is to make miswak. And one is the usage of the actual miswak. One is to make miswak, and one is to use the actual miswak, the stick itself. So these are two separate aspects. So say for example a person, he forgot his miswak, and he came for salah, and now he doesn't have a miswak. So in the commentary of Tirmidhi Sharif it is written that if a person used his finger, he used his finger now and rubbed it against his teeth because he didn't have a miswak, or a person took a cloth and he rubbed the cloth against his teeth because he didn't have a miswak, so the sunnat of miswak that will be fulfilled. The sunnat of miswak that will be done. Inshallah, there's hope that he will get reward for that. But the sunnat of using the actual stick, the actual miswak itself, that won't be fulfilled. That's why it is mentioned, تُجْزِئُ مِنَ الْأَصَابِعُ, that the fingers will suffice. When a person hasn't got the miswak, and he has forgotten it, for whatever reason he didn't bring it, and now he cannot find another miswak, the fingers will suffice that he just utilizes the fingers. So that sunnat he will get the reward for. But the sunnat of using the actual miswak, that he won't get the reward for. And in the wudu, there are particular parts of the body that a person should be particular when he's washing. One is the elbows. This, many people, we find that there's negligence in this also. That when washing the elbows, when washing the hands, sometimes this area in the back, this is left out. Or the second is the heel, the back part of the feet. It's also mentioned in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. That destruction, punishment for people of heels of the fire, from the fire of Jahannam. Meaning those people that wash their feet, but they neglectful, they don't wash the heel. So the heel is left dry. They wash the entire leg, but the heel is left dry. Now this happens normally in the winter months. In the winter months when it is cold and there's no hot water. So a person, he tries to rush the wudu, quickly wants to make wudu because it's cold, the water is also cold. So at that time, sometimes there are certain parts of the body that are left out. So this a person should take particular notice of, that these particular areas are covered when making wudu. It is mentioned after the wudu of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to take فَأَخَذَ فَضْلَ تَهُورِهِ, whatever left over water. This is now when you're using the mud. Obviously we're using the tap. So a person can take some water and drink also. So the barink also. So, but when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when they would use the mud, then he would take the leftover water. فَشَرِبَهُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ. He would drink this water when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was standing. While standing, he will now drink that leftover water that is there, he will consume it. So some ulama have written from this also, that to drink the water after wudu, after a person performs wudu, to drink this water, this is sunnah. And the second thing that they say, that to stand and drink the water of zamzam, wherever you are, if you're at home, wherever, you drink the water of zamzam, this is sunnah as well. But all the ulama obviously don't agree with this point. Like Allama Shami Rahmatullahi, very senior Hanafi jurist, Allama Shami Rahmatullahi, he says no. He says you cannot prove sunnah from here. He says the maximum that you can say in regards to drinking the zamzam water standing, it is permissible. That there's no problem. Person won't be doing any wrong. He won't be sinful. There he can stand and drink. Although others say no, you can stand and drink at home also. Here we're talking of home, we're not talking of Makkah Sharif. We're talking of a person is at home, he stands and drinks. Others have said that no, it is mustahab, you can stand and drink. But Allama Shami Rahmatullah says that it is mubah, it is permissible for a person to stand and drink. And Nabi, the reason he gave, he said that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he drank the water of Zamzam, it was the occasion, for example, of Hajj or whatever. So there was a lot of crowding, a lot of people around Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there was no place to sit. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drank the water of Zamzam. And this water, why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam take water after wudu and drink this water in particular? Here Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to show Sahaba, he stood and drank it in front of Sahaba, he wanted to show Sahaba that see the leftover water from wudu, this water is not impure, it is not makruh to use this water. It is not my musta'mal, that water which is used, that's a different ruling altogether. But this is still clean water, the leftover water. So you can still use this water, you want to drink this water, you can drink it also. There is no problem whatsoever with this water. Also, we learn in the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that when a person makes wudu, إِذَا تَوَضَّعْتَ فَانْتَضِحْ, that when you make wudu, then after making wudu, take a little bit of water and sprinkle this water in your on your pants, around the private part, etc. A person, he should sprinkle water there. The reason the ulama have given, that yesterday we discussed about wasawis, these thoughts that come to a person. So this will protect a person from these thoughts, like of urine drops emerging, etc. All these thoughts that come, shaitan plays with a person. So it will protect a person from these thoughts when he sprinkles this water. However, our ulama, Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi, he has written that what is the objective of wudu? What was the purpose of wudu? Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi says that the objective of wudu was to attain internal purification. Internally you wanted to be cleansed and purified. But what are we doing in wudu? He says we are washing external limbs of the body. So he says that there are two such actions in wudu, that if you do this, these are mustahab actions, not from amongst the faraiz or anything, it's not obligatory. It is mustahab. If a person does it, he'll get reward. He doesn't do it, there's no problem also. There are two mustahab actions of wudu. And if a person does these two mustahab actions, then together with the external purification, he will get his internal purification also. The first thing that Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi said is that the leftover water of wudu, whatever water is left over, or a person just puts his hand at the end of wudu under the tap and he takes a little bit of water and he drinks it, he says you will get internal purification by drinking this water. And the second thing he said, that sprinkle that water around the private part. So from here ulama say that we understand something. We understand from this that the fountain of guna, in other words where gunas initiate from, where gunas take place from very often, are these two parts. Number one, the mouth. And the second is the private part. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned one hadith, وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ, that it is the consequence of the tongue that will get many people headlong into the fire of Jahannam. When people don't take care of their tongue, they don't care of what they speak, just say anything, then this will get a person into the fire of Jahannam. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that لَيْسَ السِّيَامْ مِنَ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبُ, that you know the roza you keep in Ramadan, this roza is not only abstaining from food and drink, that is not only roza, that is one aspect of roza. He says, وَإِنَّمَا السِّيَامْ مِنَ الرَّفَثْ وَاللَّغُ, that roza and fasting is that a person, he stays away from futile activities, where a person talks futile all the time. Or rafat, any type of guna, he stays away from that. That is the actual roza. that a person he stays away from the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is one thing that will get a person into the fire of Jahannam. Another hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that you protect what is between your jaws and what is between your thighs. I guarantee you Jannah, that a person will go to Jannah. Because most of the gunas will take place with the tongue and with the private part of a person. So we come to learn from here that these are the two parts of the body where a lot of gunas take place from. One king, his son, went to become an alim. So he studied, he became an alim. We heard this from Hazrat. After becoming an alim, he came back home. So the father had a big dawat, called everybody that my son graduated, he became an alim of deen. And he brought his son onto the stage. He said, come, say a few words. Now he's become an alim, give a little lecture. So son refused, he didn't speak. So he tried to encourage him, but he didn't speak. So the father said, you know what, he just graduated now. Maybe stage fright. Initially they are frightened to talk. And after some time, he'll get the ability, he'll get some courage, and he'll start speaking. So he told the minister, see, take him and go. Take him and go. And maybe hunting. And then maybe he'll have some light-hearted conversation, and he'll open up slowly. So the ministers took him and they went hunting. So this boy, he wasn't speaking. They also, he kept quiet. So as they were walking, they came across a partridge. That's a bird. So the partridge made a noise. So when the partridge made a noise, and they passed it, so the boy had, they already passed there where the partridge had made noise. So he told the ministers that were with him, that went hunting with him, did you hear that? Did you see that there was a partridge there? So they all came back, and they hunted the partridge. They shot it. So they got it, they ate it. Very tasty meat also, the partridge meat. So the ministers, their objective was fulfilled. They wanted to see if the boy can speak or he can't speak. And they saw, no, this boy is perfect, he can speak. So they brought him back to the king. So the king said, let's have another dawat now. Let's get everyone together, we'll celebrate. So again they had a dawat, and they told this young boy, come, you speak now. So he refused to speak. So the king said that now he is pretending. He's pretending. So he told the person that was responsible for lashing, he said, give him so many lashes. So he was lashed. So after he was lashed, when he was given hiding, then he said, I'll speak. He said, now I'll speak. So he came on the stage. What did he say? He said, as long as the partridge kept silent, the life of the partridge was safe. Man sakata naja. Person that kept quiet got salvation. No problem. Long as it kept quiet, it was safe. When the partridge spoke, what happened? It was hunted, it was shut down, it lost its life. As long as I kept quiet, I was safe. When I spoke, I had to bear so many lashes I got. What will be the condition? Then he said, what will be the condition of that person on the day of Qiyamah, who all the time, buck, 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 he is speaking all the time. When he comes before Allah Ta'ala, how is he going to answer for all that speaking? Once, something else came to my mind. Once, in that, I think it was that Harun al-Rashid, if I'm not mistaken. So, it was Harun al-Rashid most probably. So, he had a room. And they say, in the room of Harun al-Rashid, he had such perfume in his room, that if anybody came into that room, within a few minutes, he would fall off to sleep. The fragrance was so beautiful that a person just comes in that room, and he falls off to sleep. So he had a guard at that room. And Harun Rashid was a very pious king. He studied 200 rakats, nafil namaz, every day of his life. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah in Fazail al-Sadafaz, he's written about the son of Harun al-Rashid. Very interesting waqia, that how that child, at the age of 16, where he had reached, and how he had passed away also. Nevertheless, so he had a guard that was outside the room. So one day the guard, sometimes the guards also fall off to sleep. So the guard was now sleeping. So the worker wanted to go in the room. So she went in and she lay on the bed. Within a few seconds, she fell off to sleep. So now she was caught sleeping in the room. So, and Harun al-Rashid came, he was informed that, you know what, this is what happened. She went into the room and she slept on your bed. So he ordered, she must be given so many lashes. So she was given the lashes. After she was given the lashes, then she came to Harun al-Rashid. She said, that see, I slept on your bed for a few moments, just for a little while, whatever time, maybe half an hour, maybe 20 minutes, whatever time it must have been. He said, for that little time that I slept on your bed, so many lashes I got. You sleep so much on this bed, how are you going to answer to Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? What is going to be your condition? I'm not worried about myself, I'm worried about you. So anyway, khair, so the tongue also, a person, he should think that I'm to answer really in the court of Allah. مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. There's no word that a person speaks except there's a farishta. Everything is recorded, everything. Maybe sometime our Hazrat says, he says, people that come here, he says, when we see them in front of us, they can't be a greater saint than this person that is sitting in front of me. How he speaks and how pious he is and how he behaves. He says, but at home, in front of the wife, he says that when the reports come, then I say that if there was a dictionary with swearing words, then the words he used is not in the dictionary also. The same person that is sitting in front of us. So in front, how our tongue is, and when we are at home with our friends, with other people, what difficulty our tongue can get us into. So this is what Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullahi alayhi says, that drink this water, and number two, sprinkle it at your private parts. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will protect the person. We'll continue from here.